Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quit. If the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the crime.
Anybody watch any of the Girls Gone Wild thing?
No.
What is the Girls Gone Wild thing?
It's the documentary that came out.
It's, yeah, there's a three-part docu-series came out. The untold story of Girls Gone Wild. They already did a Girls Gone Wild documentary. The other one, Netflix or something. But this is like, well, what Scott, this is great because he agreed to do audio interview.
Really?
The guy himself agreed to do audio interview.
What's his name?
Joe Francis. You know, he does himself no favors ever by talking. But I'm going to do the same thing I did. I don't know if you guys remember. I was watching a docuseries about Tekashi 6ix9ine some time back.
Yeah, you love it.
And I was like, yo, I really like something about this dude. Like, his story is interesting. And, like, I kind of get, like, the thing he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, the character of it and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this guy's awesome. We should even get him to Skankfest, dude. He would murder it at Skankfest with that energy and everything. And then I went and watched the last episode, and it was like he tied his girlfriend to a radiator and beat the shit out of her for days on end or something. There's like audio of it. It's like, so he's like a raging.
So now we know he would kill
it. Yeah, definitely. But no, you know what I mean? Where you're like, oh, sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. The guy's like a piece of shit. So I don't know what could change my mind as I get to like the last...
Wait, you like Joe Francis is what you're saying?
No, I don't like Joe Francis at all. That's across
the board. Are we on the show right now? Is this part of the show?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lewis, try to stop interrupting. We're on the show. Jay, you were giving a full endorsement of everything Girls Gone Wild did?
I was telling you that Girls Gone Wild is above board. Well, no. I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know if you guys remember I told you years ago and Craig Gass took me backstage to Anger Management Tour. And we went on the bus, the Girls Gone Wild bus. Joe Francis was there and we went on the bus with him for like...
They made you guys get on the Girls Gone Wild short bus?
Nice. They let me and Craig come on the bus and I watched, and I've told you guys this before.
That's a great, we should parody Girls Gone Wild with just retarded chicks on a short bus. That's a great sketch.
But still make them fuck.
Yes, dude. Well, I mean, obviously we're not gonna really do it. We'll just fucking make it a sketch. Girls Gone Wild short bus edition. That's hilarious. Anyway,
it's so funny. It's so funny that what most people get in trouble for there is having people pretend to be retarded.
Yeah.
not full blown lesbian sex. No, there's something to. So the first two episodes so far, it's him talking. No, he's a piece of shit. And I said when I was on that bus.
I'm sorry, Jay, just quick, but he's not in jail, right? He's like a
he's in Mexico
island.
He's in Mexico running. He lives at his own resort.
So you, wait, can you go to that resort as like a person?
He I believe bought a so. Resort? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Skankfest Girls Gone Wild Resort.
Well, we just found the new Skankfest location.
We just made our own Epstein Island.
Dougie, I'm telling you right now, I'm 100%, I really mean this, I'm going to look into this.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm all right. But it's
you guys are gay.
Yeah.
Just yes and me and tell me no off air, guys. Jesus Christ.
Well, okay, everyone's going to be all hyped up.
We are very interested in going to this rapist
party. I mean, how far did you think we were going to get with the idea in real life, guys?
I don't know. You just said the words.
I'm not joking. I'm really ready to learn. You said this is
I'm
not
gonna,
part
I'm,
of
I'm going to actually look really into this.
Well, I would understand if you take me for literally everything I say, then fine, I guess.
Especially when you say literally before it, which is
if you go
literally with, everything you say.
If you go with an old school definition of literally, then sure, we have a point.
I just say things sometimes.
So when I was on that bus with them, like I said, Dave, I definitely have told you this before. I was like,
I don't remember, but I remember vaguely.
I was just like, but I just said right away, it's even at the time, and I was like, you know, I was in my early 20s, and I was stoked. When we were going on that bus, I was like, yo, we're about to watch chicks dyke out. And then I left there in 10 minutes, very quickly, of like, with Craig too, just being like, yo, this is like uncomfortable.
It's
like,
ugly, these guys, behind the scenes.
Like,
yeah,
they are really like, they, you know, they're definitely, they're not like pulling girls' shirts up, but when the girls are like, no, they're like holding their shirts down, the guys are doing,
well,
like a little like pulling up.
It's just us all getting older. You having a daughter who's now of age of the girls that were getting on these buses, like, it, even up, even on the surface, if you look back at it, it's still kind of gross, like what they were doing.
No, no,
the
absolutely. But I didn't,
in
but
the
I
actual
didn't think,
videos. What,
yes,
I'm saying
but
is
when you,
that
I didn't think that part. To me, that part was all above board. What you're seeing and everyone smiling and giggling and
no, but I'm saying, like, even just knowing what you know, you're like, oh, they're 20 year old girls who are absolutely hammered. I don't even need anything else. If you just look back at it, you go like, oh, that was fucking crazy.
No,
if
you're
my daughter or
so
my
sister.
You're
100% right. You're right.
The hindsight's great. But I'm saying even, in the moment, I thought all that was fine.
I thought it was awesome.
But I got to see what they were doing behind the scenes to kind of like get to encourage that. And I was saying, there no girls on the bus that I was on did anything. It was like maybe four girls came on and none of them did anything, but it wasn't for lack of them getting like pretty wild pressure. Now, no, like you can't leave or blocking doors or anything like that. Just like
they didn't Louis CK them.
No, what it was these dumb young girls wanted to fucking have free booze and party and not really show their tits. And that's fine, but the guys are going to make the entire thing about them trying to get them to show their tits.
It's a, you know what it reminds
it
me of?
And the
like,
guy had a, and Joe so Friends like, had a black eye, which was
I
funny.
Get Louis's point completely. Like, there's a lot of things that almost immediately would just ruin it for you when you're older, you know.
Of course.
Like, just seeing a drunk 20 year old, you'd be like, yeah, dude, this is too weird
when,
for me.
But when I was a kid, I legitimately was like, dude, that is my fantasy.
Yeah,
if I saw the girls going wild bus, I would have stood outside of it trying to look in, like when I was 19.
No, but I'm saying that there's other things that I think Jay is getting at, is even at the time, being in your 20s,
right,
there's things where, like, if you see the way the sausage is being made, even at a time where the drunk 20 year old would have fucked with you and you'd have been like, whatever, I'm 24.
I remember to talk about this because it was such a funny, like,
I remember in that other the porn documentary, one of the other famous ones, where it's the guy who's a real creep who's just awful
Max
to the
Hardcore.
Chick.
Yeah.
Yes, Max R. What he does, like, when she breaks in the scene and doesn't want to do shit, and he's just like, oh, so you're a quitter? Oh, so I guess we'll go tell everyone you're a quitter. And he breaks her to the point
first
that
he,
she, like,
well,
comes
first,
back to the scene.
First,
like,
he baby doll, first he baby dolled her.
Right,
and
right.
All the nice things, saying, and then on a dime turned on to nasty, and she said yes.
But so, like, if you had, even back then, when I was a degenerate, like, kid,
sure,
if I, like, I could have just watched a porn and just watched that chick getting fucked and enjoyed it. But if I had seen that part of it, it would have ruined the whole thing for me. Like, even at 20, I'd have been like, oh, I can't get into this.
See,
now.
This is the,
like,
nuance and the
awful
scuzziness of me. That would have made me get into watching the actual porn.
Now, Louis, that's where me and you connect.
Yep.
But I will say, even with all that said, when I was on that bus, I was doing funny stuff to kind of like just break the conversation of like trying to get a girl to take her pants off constantly. And then we went outside, his camera guy, which again, I wish I could tell you that his camera guy is the one they're interviewing in this. I don't remember, but like he seemed a little, cause I asked about the black eye and he was like, yeah, he goes, one of these girls had an angry cousin or something. It was,
and, oh, at the time, Joe Francis had a black guy.
Yeah, 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 there.
Oh, I thought you meant in the documentary. Okay.
No. He had a black guy on the thing. And that's when I was like kind of like lost. I was like, yeah, the thing's kind of like shitty. Now, and then all these things are coming out about it. Now, all of that said, the girls boo-hooing now about it and describing the story with, like, you know, evil music playing behind it and everything. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, you guys, like, did the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and when they're playing the audio behind, they go, and that's when they asked us to start doing jumping jacks. And it's like, and then they're playing, and it's like, you girls want to do jumping jacks? They're like, I mean, like this. It's like, why don't you girls start kissing and grabbing each other?
But
a little
just
bit?
But they're telling the story
of like, we were just like, if we just get this over with, maybe we can get out of here. I go,
but Jay, similarly, we're saying like 20 years later in retrospect, we're not even involved, right? So 20 years later in retrospect, we can look back and be like, oh, it's kind of gross. Like, yeah, these are 20-year-old girls that are being plied with alcohol. These girls, 20 years later, they have the same exact growth in life. They have kids. They have perspective on the world. And it was them. Yes. So I understand why from their interview, they're going, yeah, fuck this guy. Fuck this whole experience. And you could probably get them on camera giggling and showing their titties.
But isn't fuck this kind guy, of, fuck- but there's almost like a splitting the difference there where it's like, okay, look, you can later in life be like, nah, this is actually really gross. And you're kind of preying on vulnerable younger girls and all of this. But you also don't have to describe it as if you were being held hostage when that's not really what happened.
That's like, what I'm listen, saying. Yeah.
I to your point before, because this is where I am, because I'm kind of conflicted too. Like, I am like, when I said, oh, that might ruin it for me, even when I was 20 to see Max Hardcore being a piece of shit or whatever, I still, even as Jay tells the story, and you're like, oh, these girls came out and just like didn't want to show their tits and just wanted free booze and shit, I'm like, well, the nerve of those girls. I mean, what do you think? You just get free booze on the Girls Gone Wild bus? I mean, come on, dude. This is real life. You don't just get that shit. Like,
well,
I don't
think
know.
About how it's, many girls. So what they had, it's not a documentary. If and more than likely, 90% of the girls that did it literally go, I don't give a shit. I showed my boobs at a concert. But I don't think for most people, it just was a fucking thing that they did.
No, well, this is digging much more into.
Let me finish my point. Hold on. The maybe 10% of them are fucking probably regretting it or whatever. And they're looking for those girls to tell the story in the documentary, or there is no documentary.
No, correct.
Well, that's good. That is a good point too that Lewis makes, is that it does become a game of numbers almost at a certain point where
there's
you're gonna find
thousands.
Them.
There's thousands of girls in those videos that haven't said shit.
Of course.
But I'm saying,
they do that when somebody gets canceled. It'll be like Chris D'Elia gets canceled, then they'll put out a public.
You
thing
have to let me finish, also, guys.
What, Jay? You're talking a ton, my friend. I'm not being an asshole. Like, you're
I'm telling
a whole story
you what
right
I saw.
Now. We're chiming in. All we're doing is chiming in.
No, you cut me off there. Whatchamacallit, but the girls they're focusing on in this, though, isn't so much the I showed my titties in the bar. They're focusing on like that the idea was that you were kind of lured into this with like $9.99 or $19.99 for you get this like thing, and it's girls showing their boobs at parties. It really became the porn angle of it. When you got the tapes, all the tapes had like a scene or two of like girls getting in the back of the bus or a hotel room, like genuinely like fucking themselves with bottles or eating each other's pussies and shit. So it's focusing much more on them. But that's what I'm saying. The dilemma in it is like these videos are always going to show them everyone. There was no video of Girls Gone Wild where I was like, man, these girls look uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? Like, they all seem like they were super stoked on it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they put any of the ones out that were uncomfortable, you know?
No, they did. I'm saying, but these are the girls who were saying, they're just telling the story now of like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're telling it like, and then he said, why don't you girls do jumping jacks? And then they're playing the audio of the scene, and the girls are like, they couldn't be seeming like they're having more of a good time.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. They were drunk and they were 19. You know, I'm sure if
no, correct. But I'm saying they're retelling the story.
I can go back to times, you know, where if, you know, things that I did when I was a fucking kid, where it was probably fun at the time. And then I go like, oh, it was fucking retarded. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's just, yeah, I think that's just natural growth.
It's also a male female thing, right? So like if you think back to, in our day, like Lewis, you've talked about this a lot, and I think is the way you told it is like almost the perfect way to like explain what the culture was for people who aren't from that time. But literally, it was a thing that at last call, they would like raise lights a little bit. This is how bars work.
I had that in my first special, and
you told this whole thing where you would try to find like last ditch effort. And this was drunk. We were all blackout drunk.
You'd
the guys,
look for the ugliest,
girls.
Drunkest girl at the end of the night. Like, well, I got to find an ugly drunk girl because that's the only way I'm getting laid.
Now, the truth is, if we're talking about a time when we were 22 or whatever, or even younger, whatever. The guys would have done that even sober. Sober, if you were like, oh, there's just some mess who wants to fuck you, guys would be down to do that. Typically, the reason we were all getting drunk is because that's when chicks would do it. Now, is that kind of fucked up? I guess, I don't know. But a lot of times, girls will do a hoary thing and then later be like, oh, I regret doing that hoary thing.
I understand them kind of all the regretting.
But in
Girls
Gone Wild,
completely.
In Girls Gone Wild, when they made that drunk decision, they didn't just hook up with some dude. They're now like This is out there. The commercials ran on Comedy Central all the time.
I'm surprised more girls haven't come out and tried to sue,
He's gotten drilled with millions and millions of dollars of lawsuits.
I'm sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. He's been drilled a bunch. But the thing is, the point I'm saying more is that when they're describing they're reflective embarrassment and awkwardness and whatever, I understand. What it is as they're telling the story, they're telling a story of like, I guess I just figured okay, if we do these jumping jacks, this is what she's saying. She goes, if we do these jumping jacks, maybe they'll like let us leave or something. Like maybe this will be the end of it. And it's just like, you're not giving that off at all. And the thing, like if they even said the words like, oh my God, if we do jumping jacks, can we fucking go already? You know, it wasn't even something like that, like a playfulness of that. It was like, we're here to party. It's very strange to hear like the...
Because they have to exaggerate it and make everything kind of like black and white, you know. But I get your point. That's what I was saying with the split the difference thing before.
That's
what
I'm saying. It's a hard thing. Yeah.
It could be like all these things can be true. What that guy did was really scummy, and even if legal, it's still like really fucked up to do. And then also you could be like, but lady, also you didn't have the experience of a guy broke into your house with a gun and said, get naked and do jumping jacks. Like that's not what it was either. You know what I mean?
What blows my mind is his connection to celebrity and how hard his connection, like that no one thought, like these like girls that were dating him and becoming his girlfriend didn't think to themselves like, this is the scuzziest dude in the fucking world.
Because at the time, we talk about rape culture, right? It's so funny because like, just you get older, you look back, like, of course, it was the fucking 90s. Rape culture was a part of everything. Did they put Britney Spears on TV with like they buttoned the top button over her clit when she was 16 years old. Christina Aguilera, like the pants girls in.
If she had pussy hair of Britney Spears, you'd have seen it in that skirt.
I watched a thing with Justin Bieber. Did you see this? This is like, there's a compilation. See if you can find it, Alex or G Mike. It's a compilation of just celebrities being creepy to Justin Bieber. And it's kind of funny. I'm writing a joke about this now in my act about how Justin Bieber is like foie gras, his butt. It's like delectable and fucking, it's wrong. You shouldn't have it, but if you're rich enough, you kind of should. What's it called? Like since he was like 13 years old, they would fucking treat him like a piece of meat. I think it was Pink, kiss him on the neck. So, dude, try to find that compilation while we're talking if you can, because he says like six times he's like, I'm really uncomfortable right now. He's like, my mom's right there, I don't really want to answer that question, like that's weird. They're asking about sex, like getting his dick sucked. It's fucking really fucking bizarre.
Well, a video when Britney Spears was young enough about like where she's like chewing gum in the interview, remember that kind of famous one? And Barbara Walters or something like, are you a virgin?
No. I was about to bring this up. It was Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer.
Oh, which is like a serious, supposedly serious journalist, dude. And
talk to us about your virginity. Dude, and she's like 18 or something. Like,
she's 16.
No, but dude, it's the most. No. This is later. The interview's like, it's not when she first came out. It's like, it's later. So what happened was, because I remember at the time thinking this was so crazy. So if you could imagine in this culture, right, like Lewis was just saying, she's literally in like a micro thong in half her fucking videos. It's so overly sexualized, like schoolgirl outfits and it hit me baby one more time, like everything was like, you know, I'm a slave and all. And this is during the era of like Jay-Z is huge and like, oh, you know, Justin Bieber's like all sex music, Jay-Z, it's all like pimp these hoes. And then fucking this bitch Diane Sawyer is interviewing her and she goes, so you made this huge thing out of being a virgin, because Britney Spears also publicly talked about being a virgin at the beginning of her career. And she goes, well, you're not a virgin anymore, right? So like, what's up with that? And Britney Spears has to be like, well, you know, the Bible does say to wait until marriage, and that is what you should do. And it's almost this thing where it's like, dude, the standard for women was that you have to like be shaking your ass in a thong, but also we expect you to not enjoy sex at all. And if you're telling me that you have sex and you enjoy sex, like that's something Diane Sawyer is going to grill you about.
2003 interview. Find out how old she was in that. I think she was younger, because I remember that.
She came out when I was in high school as like 16-year-old. This was after she had dated
Justin Bieber. Yeah.
Not Justin Bieber, Justin Timberlake.
She was probably about 20, 21.
See, I don't actually care that much about asking a 20, 21-year-old if they're a virgin or not.
No,
I also grew up on Howard Stern interviews.
No, but you're missing my point. I don't give a shit about asking the question and getting into sexual questions. I'm saying she was judging her for not being a virgin and making it almost like she had to apologize for like feeling guilty about the fact that she's having sex. Whereas like she's 22. But like that, you know what I'm saying? Like that was the crazy standard. Like obviously she's had sex. She's a sex symbol. Like this is what she does.
Dude, that slave for view video. When how I don't know how old she was in that video. She was of age, right, guys?
That was older.
Before I give my opinion on the I'm a slave for you video, can we find out that she's definitely above 18? Because
you mean with the video or when she did the live performance with the snake?
But the video itself was fucking crazy. Like her body was so tight in that video. It was fucking particularly crazy. Yeah. Tell you.
You're on solid legal ground.
Yeah. Now she like dances with knives, head with Alice Cooper makeup dripping down her face.
She just did a video before. I don't want to move away from the Bieber thing, but she also did a video. I haven't watched the video yet. I sent it to the notes. She's so fucking batshit. She's in Mexico and she's celebrating her birthday, but she's acting like a little kid and she says it's her fifth birthday. So she was like molested or something when she was a kid. There's some weird.
Yeah, something dark happened there.
Something fucking crazy and wacky happened with that girl.
Well, yeah, wasn't her sister the one they think that.
Dan Schneider got pregnant.
Didn't they think he got pregnant, right?
Yeah, I think that's a rumor, but you know, I don't know.
I'm gonna call it an old wives' tale.
That's what we're gonna call a skanks fact.
Skanks fact.
But anyways, it's my birthday. I'm not turning 42. I'm turning 5 this year. I'm turning 5 years old, and I have to go to kindergarten tomorrow. Baby Strawberry, a very, very cute baby cake.
I can jerk off to this.
But my friend, it really kind of.
Yeah, she might just put hotter she's ever been.
Make my face look like I'm wearing like a white.
This is more jerkable mask than I thought it was going to be honest with you guys.
No.
Nah, that's pretty rough, dude.
She's dude, it is funny seeing like them all fall apart, dude. That's as funny as like the Jenna Jameson like night vision video of her like climbing ladders to break all the cameras in her house while she was having like a mental breakdown.
And I don't think I ever saw that.
And it's just like man, one of the hottest women in the world at a time that everyone just kind of like universally agreed on, just fucking still a batshit 40-something-year-old. That's what's interesting, too, on this Girls Gone Wild thing, to take it back there for a second, is these girls who are, like, you know, who are victims of this shit. It is funny where he's, like, you know, they keep talking about they would only get the hottest in of all the girls, and, like, it's funny seeing them now, like, of just, like, you know, either being, like, heavy set or fucking just older and not that attractive anymore.
Question.
It's 20-some years later.
Sorry, I thought we weren't recording for a second. I was going to be very annoyed with the team.
It says it's recording over here.
I know. I didn't see the button. Pull up that Bieber video. And then also, I mean, we're talking about sex symbols sort of like falling out, right? Like, I know there's a new Pamela Anderson image that came out, and she's 60, and everyone's trashing her. And then Marissa Tomei also put out another image where she's 60, and she looks fucking great.
Yeah.
Is this the video you're thinking of, Lewis?
A massive breakdown now, do you? Like some of them.
This isn't the one, but I'm sure.
I'm worried.
No, this is not it. No. It's a video where I think it starts off with Pink kissing him on the neck at an award show. And then there's the gay guy who like is like in late show, James Corden. He's like talking about how nice his lips are. It's like, it's fucking crazy.
Sexualizing a boy.
Sexualizing a boy. But it's also like,
I don't get it. sexualize a girl.
But the other thing is like, so some people are asking about, like, somebody says on one of the things in the video, they're like, oh, make sure you use a rubber. And he's like, what? That's weird. My mom's right there. He says that. And I'm just kind of going like, I don't know. That's kind of what people say to 15-year-old boys who are having girls throw themselves at them. I don't think that's a creepy comment for an adult on a radio show to make to a 15-year-old pop star that, you know, girls are just throwing themselves at him. It's actually probably good advice. It's not necessarily your advice to give him. But, yeah, I think they make things out of you know, certain things. But her kissing him, somebody grabbed his ass. They went to like one of the chicks, like one of the talk show hosts.
Yeah, that's a bit far.
Yeah.
It's fucking but weird.
He's fine.
I can't find a compilation, but I have.
I know, it is funny where you're like, he's fine.
He's fine. He's also a bazillionaire. Yeah, like she grabs him.
He doesn't seem into it is the weirdest part.
Because like, Pink is kind of a dykey looking fucking weirdo. Get your puffy head off me. I get hot 16-year-old girls. I don't want this old lady kissing me.
Oh, and then she really gropes.
Yeah, she grabs
him,
dude.
Yeah, they've made Pink look attractive before, but I think under it, yeah, she's a pretty dudeish.
She's a harsh looking chick.
Yeah, yeah, it's
right. When I saw her in person at the airport, she was pretty cute though, but definitely like a hard.
Well, she's also
face.
Thin and small, and like back then, like when you were 21 at the time, maybe. Like,
no, I was not. I just started. I was going to do Comic View. I was 19 or 20, maybe tops.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Yeah. But even
like, no way. But yeah, like at that time, I remember being 19. If a girl was simply thin, I thought she was hot.
Yeah, I guess I'm not that far from that too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she's a nice body, dude. Hell yeah.
But I started chatting her up because I was like going to do Comic View. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Pink. She was pretty impressed. I just didn't believe her.
Oh yeah, she was like, I'm a future pop star. Like, okay.
She said, you're going to go finish her album. And I was like, boring.
And then you're
supposed to be stoked about me.
Then you stole her hairstyle.
And then I stole her hairstyle. So what? I'm still a rock star.
And her accessories and nail polish.
I got my dick out. And
oh, my God. I just realized that Jay dresses like early 2000s Pink.
Hell yeah, dude.
Was there a luggage mix up at this airport?
There you go. Bring up her first album cover, dude.
Early 2000s Pink. It looks like Jay now.
The first album, the first thing she came out with, it looks like I've modeled myself after Pink.
That's fucking hysterical.
There you go.
Dude, I guarantee there's an image of her with fingerless gloves. Oh, my God, dude. There she is. There's Big Jay. That's what Jay's going for.
Hell yeah, dude. Misunderstood.
Pull up a bunch of pictures from early.
That's not her first album. That's not even where it looks. It looks more like that. Bring up the There You Go video.
No, just put up early 2000s Pink.
Yeah,
it's all. Yeah, Jay, you look like you and her should be together, to be honest.
I tried. I put it out there, dude, but she just kept fucking blabbering about her shit. Oh, right here at the bottom, the Pinterest one, dude. There we go.
Let's see.
We ain't far from that.
There we go. Fucking Rock and Pink.
Fucking Pink and Jink.
Dude, I really, and I love Christine with all my heart. Christine's one of my closest friends, but I feel like there's a path for you to get with Pink today.
Sure.
I don't think it would be fair to you or Christine to deny you that path.
I think she's married, but I think it's tumultuous.
She's married to Tumultuous? Who's Tumultuous? Is it a rapper?
No, she's married to that Carrie Hart guy who had that Hart and Huntington tattoo show that was on for a little while. It was so boring. I don't know why I watched it every week.
Because we didn't have phones to scroll on at the time.
But that was when all these girls were getting with like tattoo artists, fucking garage guys like Jesse James, and then everyone's all surprised when they're like, wait, he fucked the Nazi porn star slut.
Remember how big reality TV was for like a hot minute? It was like literally everything. Every job, every person that had a job, they're like, dude, there should be a reality show about. And they did make a reality show about every stupid fucking job.
Billy Kitchen.
Yeah.
Like when they started making shows about tricking people, where the Joe Millionaire, remember? It was like, actually, he's just a handsome guy who works at a Burger King.
I don't remember that.
You remember Joe Millionaire? Will they fall in love with
Joe?
This?
No. Joe Blow?
No, Joe Millionaire.
The Average Joe?
Average Joe. I think I remember that too.
I remember
Joe Schmo Show. That's what I'm thinking of, not Joe Blow. The Joe Schmo Show. Do you remember that one?
I don't I remember the name of the show.
We watched it together, Jay. I'm literally bringing myself back to your place in Queens watching the Joe Schmo Show.
I have to see it.
They made it a reality show. Like it
was Cool Academy, I liked.
Like it was going to be like Real World, right? It was like that, but he was the only person on the show and everybody else was an actor and he was having like real relationships and connections. And when they tell him, he comes undone. They really fucked this guy up.
Wait, what?
You don't remember this, dude?
They just did a thing like this called Jury Duty on a...
Wait, can you pull up the scene of when they tell him and he comes unglued? Because I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, G-Mike really remembers this a lot.
I feel like I may have seen this or I may not have. I can't remember.
West Coast Dick says Natasha Leggero was awesome on Joe. So was she on Joe Schmo? This is before I knew who Natasha Leggero was.
Who's Natasha Leggero?
You don't know Natasha Leggero?
And Jay is after he knows who Natasha is. Being...
Never mind. Never mind. Are we pulling that up, guys?
She's not very nice.
Is she not nice?
I'm looking for it. We're looking for the big reveal in the Joe Schmo show, yeah?
Well, I mean, not the literally the big
Ari,
reveal.
Right? She's the one who Ari's beef with
Bobby Lee, yeah.
With Bobby Lee was over.
His beef
right?
and broccoli.
Yeah. No, she's the one that, like I said, she went on stage after me one time and started, she wasn't doing well and started shitting on me.
Like, yeah, she's like, what's up with that fat guy who looks like Pink?
Hey, fat Pink. Not even fat boy Pink.
Fat Pink.
He goes, no, fat boy Pink, please.
That's really funny to just start dying and your jokes aren't doing good. And you go, well, I had to follow Fat Pink. So what do you expect?
And she kills.
Fat Pink is so funny.
Vote is... Come on.
They're voting people off.
I chose this person beginning up his mouth. So... Brian.
Wow. Oh, he became best friends with that nerdy guy? He was, like, really close with him?
Feel.
And that's why he starts like, crying? He's like, I thought we were friends!
Girl, please. Two votes for Hutch. Two votes for Matt. One for Brian.
Are these all guest digital producers?
I'm not. Can somebody explain to me again what's happening
like
here? I don't remember exactly.
That I voted for is.
Oh, who's that?
Is that Kristen Wiig?
Yeah. Is that Kristen Wiig on the Joe is Schmo it? Show? That's crazy. True to all of us. These people went on to do amazing things with their careers.
Owen Benjamin?
Was it Owen? No. Oh, no, it's Joe Schmo.
Gave me three consecutive orgasms. Like to vote for Hutch.
Hutch, you're the winner. Hutch is the winner.
All right, fast forward to the end. We don't actually know the context of what's going on, and you're playing the full episode.
The music is great.
I know.
He looks like the guy up there who they voted for. He looks like what's his name? Cricket in Always Sunny.
Yeah, Rickety Cricket.
That is.
Oh, it is. That is
it
the
is
guy.
Cricket. Yeah
oh,
cricket.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. This is an all-star cast.
They all went on to do great things.
That's funny. It is Rickety Cricket.
It's like watching the...
My name is David Hornsby. And I'm an actor. I live in Los Angeles.
Are you kidding me? You have ruined this whole show.
Well, don't blame me. Ask him.
Ask me what?
What about him?
This is where they're revealing that they're all actors?
Oh, Emma, please.
He doesn't have an accent.
All right, I'm an actor too. And
I think they're supposed to get, like, the winner of this, whatever the reality game is, they're supposed to get, like, $50,000. And they just give Joe Schmo, like, $10,000. They're like, well, you didn't win.
You're an actor as well. Please, I mean, come on. Let's be honest about this.
They're revealing they're all actors.
Yeah.
Owen Benjamin is loot. This is what sent Owen on his spiral.
Yeah. I just got to live in the woods with guys.
Matt, are you... Freaking kidding!
Matt, this is what happens if you trust people.
About my life and my family and me is all true. Everything is true. Everything
are you an actor, dude? Are you an actor? Are you an actor?
Everything I
He's so hurt.
My life. Are you an actor? Tell me, just say it.
I am.
What the fuck is going on? Someone fill me in.
Come here. There's something we've been meaning to tell you.
What's that?
The only real thing on this reality show is you.
Oh my God!
Would you react this way? I would just be like, okay.
Well, that's
dude,
pretty
if you
stupid.
If you like that, dude, you should watch that Jury Duty show on Amazon. It's great. It's the same kind of idea. It's really good.
Well, it's like that other one, the Push, is a similar thing.
Well, the push
is wild.
I don't understand how. I don't know if you could find it anywhere anymore because it's. I don't know. It shouldn't be legal what they did.
It is maybe the the craziest concept. Did we ever talk about it on this show? I talked about it on a Real Life podcast back in the day.
We've talked about it before, but I mean, Dave,
did you watch The Bush?
No. No, I don't know what it is.
Did you not, Dave?
No, dude, this is, it's nuts.
I don't think so.
The Push. All right, I'll give the brief synopsis in case we have talked about it. Essentially, they have, the way they set it up is cool too, right? But they have one person who's not an actor, right? And everybody else, like 200 or 300 people that are involved. And they set it up to where throughout the night, a series of events happen to where it all culminates in the end, where will he push a guy off a roof and murder him? Right. So they get all the actors like,
yeah,
and
with, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I vaguely remember this. Now. Yeah.
Save your own ass.
To save your own ass.
People did it.
I think only one person actually did the push because they showed at the end, right? The other people
they only show one person do the push. And then when they're at the end of it, when they're going through,
yeah, they show the other
several people, and just when it was kind of over, and they're like, "You did it," you know, like, no, several people did it.
Oh, it's insane,
fucking crazy.
And the way they set it up,
someone to do that, yeah, and to come back and be like, "Nah, dude, we're just fucking with you. You didn't just kill a guy."
That's insane. That would like fuck with you. It's also like you're more like everyone in your life is like, you're a fucking killer. It doesn't matter that you didn't actually kill anybody. Your intention was to murder a man to save your ass to not go to jail. That's insane. And the way they set it up, it was this was probably the most interesting part of the show to me, is that they were looking for people that were susceptible to suggestion. Yeah. Right. So in the beginning, when they have all the people come in to interview for this reality show, right, they would literally do things like where they would like just have people start walking on a line in that way. And the people that just followed, they were like, that's a person. That's a person. The people that didn't question things, they were just kind of willing to go with the flow. And that's how they narrowed down the people that they actually wanted to do the show on. It's, in my opinion, one of the most interesting yet fucked up reality shows ever.
I'm surprised that they were legally allowed to get away with that. Because I thought, was it like the Milgram experiment or one of those things where they had to deal with a bunch of lawsuits afterward, and then they kind of stopped letting people do experiments like that? Because like they would argue that if you blindly signed up for an experiment, not even a reality show, an experiment, but then you found out at the end of it that like you're a murderer or you would torture someone to death or all of that, that it's like really fucks you up. And like there's a pretty good case to be made that it's like, yo, you just like ruined me, dude. Like listen, we all are capable of doing really evil fucked up shit in the wrong situation, but like we, to be in civilization, we kind of suppress that, you know?
It's almost as bad as being caught like in like one of the amateur pedophile hunts. Like,
yeah,
you're probably not gonna get in legal trouble, but now that's just out there in the world that you came to go meet a 13-year-old or whatever. So like
it's comparable.
It's the same kind of pariah. It's the same kind of pariah thing. Like
it's a little different, right? So murdering somebody to not go to jail, like I didn't walk away from looking at that guy who pushed the guy being like, you're a fuck, like, yo, you should be.
Yeah, but you're not close to him in his life. You might look at him differently if that was someone who you were like friends with or something like that.
Being a pedophile is just worse than being a murderer.
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying they're comparable. We're not saying they're the exact same thing.
Killing a stranger to not go to jail as in a moment of desperation while you're being by hundreds of people pushing you to do this.
Sure.
It's not exactly the same thing as being caught trying to fucking actually.
What about fucking the kid? When
obvious,
you're super
obvious
horny
differences.
Full balls.
What about if you're super horny though?
What about when all of society has been pushing you to fuck this little kid for so many years? Obvious differences aside, there is like something about that you're just like, yo, this guy signed up for a reality show. He didn't sign up for everyone to know that he's capable of murder.
It's nuts.
Jesus.
No, by the way. I might be wrong, but I don't think it was a reality show. I think it was like a party thing at this museum.
Oh, they weren't even signing up for a reality. Well,
no.
They would have had to sign.
No,
some
it was
type
hidden,
of
it
waivers.
It was hidden camera. Yeah, I wonder.
I think they thought they were there for like this thing, and everybody went to go get food, and like two guys stayed behind, and something bad happened.
No, you're right, because it was all hidden camera. They weren't on camera because he wouldn't have killed somebody had he known there was cameras there, right? So you're right, it was something like that,
right?
And they probably did it with a bunch of people, and then paid them a lot of money to sign off on it at the end.
Oh yeah,
and maybe there was people that just wouldn't sign off, because how would they do it? You'd have to sign a waiver to be filmed. You'd have to have all that, and if they didn't sign it, you're done.
You could always do that. Minimalistic thing where you put the sign up, little sign that says if you walk into your premises you will be on camera or something,
right? Like they do with comedy specials.
Yeah.
All right, I was wrong about that, by the way. There weren't lawsuits over the Milgram experiment, but they did like change the ethical guidelines after it. But like there's There is something to that where I'm shocked that in modern day you could even get away with like a corporation doing something like that.
Well, let me tell you that it's they are changing it because they have now done yet, I believe, the third iteration of scare tactics. There's new episodes coming out.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, you told me they pussified it
and
all
down. I mean, to a degree where they're almost like a door opens and there's like a vampire, and then I go, oh my God, a vampire. He goes, no, you're on scare tactics. they don't go anywhere with it.
You turn a corner, there's a kid. He's like, boo.
Yeah, I mean, buddy, not far off. They're also redoing them. Like they're also redoing like the things like they did. The one I watched was like they're redoing like the lady gives birth to like a little Satan midget baby.
Yeah.
And they're doing that again.
I don't remember them too much. We got into them a little bit. It was fun. Tracy Morgan was fun to watch on it. But the only one that I really remember was the vampires on the motorcycles coming up and putting blood on the window.
Top three of all time.
It was out of control. Like, I just don't believe in monsters enough. I can't imagine myself getting to the point being like, there's vampires chasing us. Like, that's insane.
Here's why. The only way you possibly could, and I'm not saying I would either or any of us would, but if you were in Ogden, Utah, going to college, taking a ride share to a college party happening in the desert, and you saw what you saw, police cars, active police cars, like you wouldn't be like, why would they be doing an elaborate prank show here in Ogden, Utah, in the middle of the desert where we go to school or whatever? You know what I mean? That's what was scary about it. They went to you. The problem with the new one, too, same thing. It's lazy, and it's all in L.A. I mean, this is one of the funniest things ever. Pause it.
They're just not getting me with this.
Well, here's
you know what? I might think it's a gang of like cannibals that are pretend like.
Oh yeah,
thing.
Maybe you don't think it's supernatural, but I mean, what you're seeing is pretty crazy. Also, what I don't like is
Jay. I just realized you look like you'd roll with their gang as well. You have a lot of versatility with your look. You look like you could be a part of a vampire gang. Or pink.
Is that Saints vampires? Them? Why is Pink with the vampires?
Is that Fat Pink? Fat Boy Pink?
Fat Pink, are you eating blood?
What I did hate about this is the real most fucked up scare tactics of the Shannon Doherty era. When Tracy Morgan got onto it, they did a little more production to it, so I didn't like that they would. I wish they would have shown what they showed instead of like having the close-up of the vampire coming off the cop. Just show what the girl saw.
Right. It's amazing how much fucking information you lose to your memory, because I swear to God, dude, until you just said that, I completely forgot that Shannon Doherty used to host it. And that's right. And me and you were into this show. Like, we fucking loved it. We used to watch it all the time. I completely forgot about all that.
You didn't love it. You just loved whatever Jay put on the TV.
Dude, Scare Tactics.
Tactics. Dave also pretended to like playing Guitar Hero. Was the fuck I
Yeah, no, that was all just a lie. But yeah. I did love Scare Tactics.
Patrice turned us to Scare Tactics. We were both happy to watch.
Dave had to pretend to watch Bad Girls Club and fucking all these shows. He's like,
now,
oh,
listen,
great,
Bad
Jay.
Girls Club was fun. We got into it. I wouldn't ever choose to watch it on my own.
Sure.
But if we were hanging out, if I was hanging out and smoking weed with Jay and he'd be like, yo, let's throw Bad Girls Club on. I mean, we would laugh our ass off at it. It was fucking undeniably hilarious.
Reality TV was such a big part of like when I'm going into Jay's, you're right, dude. Tool Academy, Rock of Love, like all of these dumb handjobby VH1 shows were for some reason like we would watch like religiously.
Well, it also had a major effect on culture. Like reality shows took over everything and then they fell. But then there was like the post reality show world. And I do think there's something it played a part in the rise of podcasts. And like the destruction of almost all the old like network phoniness had to kind of go away, and people were more into something that was at least pretending to be real. But yeah, for that period of time, reality TV just like dominated. It was everything.
Yeah,
all the biggest shows.
Survivor, American Idol, contests.
The Contender, The Apprentice. I mean, you're talking about like just every like area.
It still
of,
is
like,
though.
Life.
It still is. Now it's a lot of reality like dating. Like there's four different bachelor versions.
Yeah, there's that. I think it's tapered down a lot. If I had to guess, there's probably 2% of the reality TV that was on when we were like 15 years ago coming up together.
Maybe the amount, but I mean like they say like scripted is what's fucked right now, man. There is just nothing happening. Like there's just so little work. Like because it's too expensive.
Well, people, there's a lot of this what I see stuff. I don't watch it ever, but it'll be like, you know, there's like gold miners in Alaska, and it's like they follow them around, and they're like 20 seasons into that show, and you're like, what? Like, they just mine gold? And I just, we're like, you know, the that's sort of in the vein of the Deadliest Catch and sort of like these oil
ice road
well
truckers
workers.
And shit.
Duck Dynasty. People watch all that shit.
I think there's a lot of that still.
I'm more in the TLC. I like to see the People's Lives or WE TV. I like to watch the lives falling apart. Honey Boo Boo's family constantly meth problems and whatever else, and the Love After Lockups and shit.
I'm surprised you didn't get into like the 16 and Pregnant. Jay,
no.
That is like right there. It's literally, you're watching people fuck up their whole lives, go to jail, fist fight each other. Like, they just put cameras on these.
Really? Love After Lockup is my jam. That's a wild show. Yeah. And it's just, it never doesn't cease to amuse me when someone comes out and can't believe that guy felt different about you when he was in jail than he does now that he's out of jail.
I feel different about a girl if I hook up with her for more than a week.
you're like you didn't seem to mind that I was 400 pounds overweight when you were in prison. It's like, yeah, but you were the only person who would show up. They're always baffled by it.
Let's do some plug-a-rooskies right quick. There's right a lot quick. More to talk about. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. Great Friday night hang, boys.
Right quick.
Yep.
Right quick.
All right, I'll go first. Go to lewisofskanks.com, grab those tickets. Come see me live next weekend, Thursday night. I'm going to be in Morris Plains, New Jersey at the Dojo of Comedy. Friday night, Emmaus Theater. I'm bringing Naeem Ali with me at the Emmaus, and I'm bringing Zach Amico with me at the Dojo. Creek and Cave, Austin, Texas, December 20th and 21st. I'm headlining, that I'm doing a Depraved on Sunday, the 22nd. Joe Liss is in town. Kim Congdon's going to be on the show. I have a couple other special guests. Get those tickets. All these shows are going to sell out. And I have a brand new tour starting in 2025, the Bring Five Friends Tour. January looking great. Columbus, Ohio, Rosemont, Illinois, Kingston, Ontario, Canada, Montreal, Ottawa, North Charleston, South Carolina, Naples, Florida. This is all just in January, baby boys. And then a whole other tour. I'm going everywhere. And all of those tickets are up on my website. Brand new special I'm filming in July in Tampa. Grab those tickets for that as well. And sign up for my mailing list. If you go to my website, lewisofskanks.com, you can get access to my mailing list, where you get, you know, the inside scoop on a lot of things. I'm pulling back from social media a little bit. And I do a bonus solo podcast just for subscribers to my mailing list. So go subscribe right now, lewisofskanks.com. And thank you guys for subscribing to Gas Digital.
Yeah, boy. Go ahead, Davey.
What? Sure. Well, our New Year's show is all sold out, right, boys?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Both shows.
Yes, sir. Very nice. Well, that'll be fun. Looking forward to spending New Year's with you guys. We should really make a reservation for dinner because it's New Year's. I got 2025. I'm coming all over the place, nice. All over Lewis's face.
Nice.
Bozeman, Montana, Louisville, Kentucky, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Key West, Florida, Boston, Chicago, Denver, Appleton, Wyoming, Appleton, Wisconsin, Tacoma, Spokane, Tampa, Florida. I got a whole bunch of dates. I'll be back at Cleveland Hilarities. A few of those dates will be up on the website within the next couple weeks, but most of them are already up there. So comicdavesmith.com for all of my my tour stuff. And partoftheproblem.com for my other podcast. And that's all.
BigJComedy.com for all my dates. St. Louis next weekend. West Palm on deck. And then, of course, the Wild Weekend. Two nights, Providence. Then the Wilbur Theater on the Saturday night. Back down Sunday for one more in Providence. So get tickets to that. New Year's Eve is going to be amazing. January next year, I got a couple fun ones. I got Arizona. I'm going to be doing it in Miami with Tim Butterly and Mike Fenoy, and then the three of us are going to be going on Shiprocked, doing Shiprocked this year for the first time in several years. So I'm looking forward to that. Listen to The Bonfire 5 days a week on Faction Talk Series 6 on 103 with me and the great Robert Kelly, and of course, America's new favorite game show obsession, Story Wars, right here on the Gas Digital Network.
You know what we should do today and Monday on Skanks? We should plug the fact that we're doing special Story Wars recording times for this month. So we were going to leave the stand, full disclosure. We were like ready to pack up and go. And then Chris Italia surprisingly came in with a last minute, like, we don't want to lose you guys.
Instead of fighting for us, they booked their entire December without us in mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll give credit to Italia because he literally was like, no, we don't want you guys to leave. And then they ended up giving us the time we wanted. So starting in January, Story Wars is going to be 7:30 p.m. from the stand every Wednesday night, which is great. But for the month of December, we're recording 2 p.m.
Wait, did you say Monday night?
No, Wednesday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I misheard you.
We're doing 2 on Sunday afternoon. We're doing 2 Story Wars brunch shows on December 15th. And then we're doing a 6 p.m. Story Wars on Thursday, December 19th. Story Wars next week that comes out as the one from Skankfest with Duncan Trussell, Nate Bargatze, and Jeff Ross. But that is the month, and that's how it's going to work. So if you guys want to come see Story Wars live, get tickets at thestandnyc.com. 2 shows on the 15th, 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. brunch shows. Come to both. It's going to be fun. 2 different shows. And then 6 p.m. on the 19th.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
What?
Yeah, what? What do you want to get into?
I saw Jeff Dye, who I really like. Jeff Dye, handsome son of a bitch.
Did you go full alt right?
Full alt right. Jeff Dye, the best looking Nazi in the game. I'll stand
he's
by.
Still
that.
So wait, still is so Jeff sweet? Dye going full alt right? Because we never rank up.
He's very handsome and very sweet whenever I see him and talk to him. But is he like alt right?
No, he's no, alt-right, like, not he's at all. Jay, he's alt right like we are.
I heard he's going hard in the paint politically with stuff.
Not really any. No, he talks about like social issues. The point that I'm bringing up is a post that he made. And this actually sort of an insight as to sort of the type of shit that he like posts. He's just sort of, here's what happened. All these fucking comics are really just using the same talking points that we've been using for a decade. We've been saying the N-word and retard and faggot and all this. Now it's cool and trendy. Wait, and everyone says it on Twitter.
Those are talking points now?
But we were saying that shit. We were saying, at least Skanks did it first, but we were also saying it at a time when it was actually fucking dangerous and could get you removed from platforms. It could get you canceled. And now everyone sort of does it. So, I think when you...
So now Legion of Skanks is going to be dedicated in 2025. No cursing.
No curse words. Dude, we should do a 100% clean show.
We should.
But we should try to do a show, squeaky clean. We get clean comics, get Nate and somebody else, and
we're going to agree to a completely clean. Yeah, I love it.
This is great.
Because you know what's wild about church?
Yeah, man. We could do it, though. We've done like morning radio.
Sure. Of course.
But it's never really squeaky clean. You just like... You just use different words. You say that effing weirdo instead of fucking faggot. If I ever call somebody a weirdo, it's because I'm not allowed to call them a faggot.
We have to have all subjects that are just like, you know what I mean? Just subjects that don't lead you that way. I know we could always get there either way.
Yeah, we're going to trust
That's
me.
The fun.
We'll figure out a way to get there. But anyway, Jeff Dye posted, it was
a kids episode. We should all do an episode with just kids in the audience.
That seems like probably a bad idea.
No, dude, we gotta work clean.
He posted the 1967 cover of the Candyland game.
Then
he posted the 2024 cover of the Candyland game. So he'll post a lot of stuff like that where it'll be, you know, you just, you know, pointing out that, you know, he makes fun of fucking people that make fun of white people. It's just a lot of that. These guys are all a little late to the party.
Yeah.
Can you pull that up? Just pull up the images of the covers. So this is the old Candyland.
Yeah.
Looks pretty nice. Looks kind of like a fun place. These two nice kids.
Looks like a nice low crime, high trust society.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of candy. Now go to Candyland. Oh, here we are. Now, Candyland with hot Cheetos and Gushers.
And a kid in a peppermint wheelchair. I'll tell you this.
Isn't it pretty crazy? It is pretty crazy that little leprechaun made the diversity cut off. I mean, I know he's in a wheelchair.
Can I? I'll tell you what happened. And Dave, you've seen this firsthand. The adjacent city to Candyland put a stadium in, which really drove local real estate up.
Now, a lot of blacks migrated up from the South for the jobs. You had white flight. All the whites moved out to the suburbs. I've seen it 100 times.
Next thing you know, you got a black princess and a midget in a fucking wheelchair.
Bada boom, bada bang. Government started giving checks to single moms. Then all the chicks left their husbands so they could be single, so they could get the checks.
The borders are open, wide open.
Yeah.
Well, now they call it quarter water lake.
Yeah, all fucking shit candy.
It's all shit candy, dude. Well, oh, we're gonna go to the Chico Sticks Forest.
Well, is he like just playing off the contrast, or is he actually making a point that like we lost our white culture or something? Like, I don't know enough about Jeff to know what
this is nothing to do with Jeff. This is literally us
just
to make fun
a joke.
Of...
Yeah,
no, he's no, okay. he's making a joke. I'm saying I want to. I want to
mountain.
There we go. I wanted to make fun of the boards.
Fair,
this has nothing to do with Jeff Dye.
Fair enough.
But what up with him though?
But what up with Jeff Dye?
Well, what up with that dude?
No, I really like Jeff. He's very funny and very cool, very handsome, very tall.
Way taller than I think too.
It's a good tall drink of water.
Are you posting racist memes, Jeff? Because you could get fucked like that. Sorry, I got confused.
I don't know his comedy at all. But
Jeff, are you posting racist memes up there? Tall son of a bitch, 6'5", fucking.
I can't see gorgeous. Racism up that high.
And he dates like celebrity chicks. He's dated a few pro wrestlers, like high level ones.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh well, he ends up on a lot of like reality type stuff. So he meets them probably. Like, so that's where you meet a female wrestler who's also on a dancing show or some shit.
Hey, no one said female wrestler.
Yeah.
Hogan, Triple H.
He's been on a few reality things.
Yeah.
God bless him. I don't know. The only thing I ever tried for was Last Comic Standing.
I remember that. It was ridiculous, Jay.
I did it 3 times.
You never made the top 100?
No. And then the...
top 100 comedians in the country, bitch.
Oh, you mean... No, I got to like the TV round, the nighttime round.
I made the top 100. I don't know what your parameters were for your season, but I was considered top 100 comedian in the country.
Oh yeah, I have no idea. I just know I made it to the TV round once or twice. I tried out for Star Search, nothing. When they brought it back with Arsenio Hall, reality TV, never America's Got Talent. I always wanted to watch it and judge people who did it. It's such a
America's Got Talent. Gary Veeder went pretty far in it, I think.
Beater, and then Natterman,
Tom Cotton, I think, went pretty far in it one year.
Cotter.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There's a congressman named Tom Cotton. So he went far. Yeah, I don't really remember other comedians. I didn't watch it that much though.
When I did Last Comic Standing, I had, and I shit you not, one clean joke. That's all I had, one clean joke, and I just did a 5-minute set. Most of it wasn't really TV clean. It wasn't good. It was bad. If I had made it through beyond that, I had no idea what I was going to do.
Like,
I did a 4-minute set that was my TV set, right?
I was like, I'm gonna be exposed.
Yeah.
Like, I hope this isn't all just fucking clean comedy. I hope we have to walk over like a rope bridge or something. We have to do stupid reality TV stuff.
No, they didn't do any of that, right? I think the first season was them in a house with like Esther Koo and fucking...
They did a house one or two years.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would have been more fun. I would have been way more interested in being on that show. Because on that, where the NBC Last Comic Standing, where it's just showcasing like clean jokes like over and over again.
Yeah.
It's sort of like... It was just kind of soulless. It wasn't. They reformatted it like it was America's Got Talent with the three judges sitting there. Versus the beginning, it was like The Ultimate Fighter, where they put everyone in a house and they'd get into arguments. Yeah, yeah, and then they'd still have to have a comedy writing challenge. We should fucking bring back Last Comic Standing, make it our own.
Uh-huh.
Get a house,
full house,
full fucking house, crazy antics. Load everybody up with alcohol. I'm going to come in.
I don't care how funny you are. I need a black. I need a Lewis, whore.
Lewis, hear me out here. We already have our house. Girls Gone Wild Resort.
Oh.
Last Comic Standing. Skanks Edition.
Why don't we do this? This is even a better idea. Forget everything we just said. Guys, new idea. Fresh list.
Start Girls Gone Wild back up.
Get a Girls Gone Wild bus. We don't even got to film it. We'll just rape them.
Now you just can't leave.
She would have no idea how to open the bus door. Like, what she has to, I have to, there's no way a drunk, dumb 20-year-old girl knows how to fucking pull the thing around and open the bus door.
It's like, the code is 41027. It's like, there's two numbers on each button. I know, so it works for either. I don't understand how to, just get your tits and get the fuck out of here, would you? You dumb idiot.
Yeah. Good old days. There's none of that anymore. Girls don't show their tits at concerts anymore. There's none of that. I think there's a little bit of a whore resurgence coming back, though, with like younger chicks. I think that like young girls are like just fucking, they're almost like encouraging each other to like just suck random cocks in bathrooms and being pigs. I think 20 something year old girls are real fucking slut bags right now, I've heard.
From what Craigslist tells me.
Yeah.
And they're all dying for my cock.
There's a little bit of a resurgence. Yeah. I'm just really disconnected from young people. I was talking to a chick recently and I was just sort of going on my rant about how I'm nervous that cancel culture's coming back. She's like, it's not. And I was like, you don't know, you're fucking too young, you don't know shit. She was like, no. She was like,
she's
literally
exactly who knows.
She was like, no, she was like, people my age think canceling people is cringe. And I was like, you say cringe unironically? No. So
no, it is the thing I told you. I think they said that's
you said that about your daughter.
Big thing, like young people. Well, I've always said about her, but then I was like, and people are probably right, there's also something to be said that she grew up around us and my daughter. You know what I mean?
Right. This girl's older and she was talking about younger people.
Yeah. But I mean, but I think they're right. I think they said like young people are being tired of being called fucking racist and they hate women and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to kind of like hang out again.
Yeah, that's nice.
These things are cyclical.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But I don't think that cancel culture is coming back. I think it exists.
I thought it was going to be much worse over the last 6 months than it ended up being.
So yeah.
I thought it was kind of like after COVID when like it stopped being so dangerous. There was a while where like you kind of couldn't say certain things. And then those certain things just became so obviously true. Like things like people got injured from the COVID vaccine would get you kicked off YouTube at the height of it. But then I was like, oh, when the presidential election comes, it's going to ramp up again. And that just never really happened.
Well, the cancel.
I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Because the cancel thing, though, but I think that almost without even the politics stuff getting in the way, I think the idea of it was just like what will stand from that is just like, you know, people will come forward if someone did something shitty and they'll bring people down. But the idea of just getting a flash mob after somebody who, you know, said faggot on stage seems like those days are over.
Yeah, it just isn't. There's not much meat on that. You know what I'm saying? But I do think that if they really want you, that it very much exists in a, you know, a real way.
Yeah.
What's it called? All right, so, Jay, you might have watched this on Bonfire. So if you already did, you don't have to watch it. And it might even be an old video. But I sent it to the group. Is the dude fighting with two female cops in Brazil, I believe.
Oh, nice.
And you see the moment where he goes, ah, it's two females, I can get away. And then he just fucking just starts to fucking.
He goes, wait a minute. This is Brazil. These are women.
This must be circulating.
Screw this.
I think a bunch of people sent me this and they were like,
yeah, you were. I saw people tagging. I retweeted it and then a lot of people tagged you. They fucking
two
rules.
Female cops.
Look, you see the moment. You see he's like,
it's, you know, this is
right here.
His arm too much.
I mean, with minimal effort.
Dude, she went for a low kick with nothing on it.
Yeah. Oh, what the fuck was that? Get my jacket, you stupid bitches.
Look at them. That's it.
Look in the car. No, the best is the end. You gotta wait till the end.
Oh, Monsieur Egon. Oh, Oliver. Monsieur Egon.
No, oh. They're all laughing at me. They drop their cups.
Get them in that.
Oh, it's so great, dude. Yeah, they drop their cuffs. And they fucking run off. But here's the idea, too. Again. A dude, now by the way, not all of them, there's plenty of fucking sluggish cop, but what a cop is supposed to be is a dude who will not let this guy jog slowly away and will run him down.
Yeah, I mean, he's also, yeah. And what they probably did the smart thing. He's a pretty fast guy. He's gone. They could have started to run and not caught him, or they could have turned around really quickly and got back in their car.
Well, listen, also, anybody, even if it's two men, that guy, first off, he was not slow. He was young. He's in a t-shirt and like what appear to be like windbreaker running
pants.
Yeah, like pants that are it
pants
like,
to run.
Like he's wearing pants that I think you could rip off before an NBA game and then go play basketball. And you have a Batman utility belt with a gun and like a taser and all this stuff.
And hips
he's
gonna
win
tits.
The race. The point is that a cop is when there's two of them and they have you by each arm, you're supposed to not be able to get away. Not just decide, I don't feel like putting up with this, and then shake them both off. While one of them throws, did you see the leg kick that she threw? It looks like it would feel like a kiss. Like this fat old chick just throwing a leg kick with nothing on it is supposed to keep him there.
What is the fire. I'm sure it's different in every jurisdiction, but like what is the standard? I'm sure this is out there, like for like physical fitness to be like a policeman. I know it's different because if you go to Miami, the cops are fucking like they're like every one of them looks like a bodybuilder. Yeah. They're fucking ripped. So there
I don't know when it might have changed too. I'm telling you, my mom hooked up with two cops and was at least friends with two or three of them that I would see come around, and none of them seemed like one fit. Definitely fat. The other one just like basic
dude,
straight up and down body. Yeah, like, you know, nothing.
I think you have to pass the physical shit when you're in the academy, and then you pass it, there's no, I think it, probably for most jurisdictions, whereas like I think when you see jacked cops, more than likely in order to keep their job they have to stay fit, because there's no reason when you go to Miami that every cop is built like a fucking football player. It's insane. What
this is
this for
the New York State standards for state police.
Let's see if the three of us could become cops.
That 1.5 mile run's gonna take me a while.
You have to be able to run it though.
Oh, then no.
That's gonna take me a few months.
Like I'm not a cop.
Yeah, I'd have to build to that a little bit. Gotta do a little walk run for a couple months there.
what is the minimum required? I'm not seeing the sit-ups. It says minimum required.
What's the minimum requirement, Alex?
I could do the minimum requirement if it's not very much.
Is it one push-up or one sit-up?
I could bang that out.
Alex, do me a favor. Go off this screen and go find a better version where you can just show us quickly what it is instead of us trying to click through and read small print and try to find something.
No, I like Alex's way.
No, it wasn't the best way. I'm going to be honest,
Alex,
with
you guys. Do you have a textbook on the matter that we could get into?
Alex, can you pull up Encyclopedia Britannica, please?
And let's start with L. No, F.
Let me get close to the screen and read it.
Isn't it crazy that people used to literally go to encyclopedias?
Yep.
To like get information about if you wanted to learn about a fucking anteater, like, let me get my encyclopedia out.
It was part of schoolwork. Yeah.
Yeah.
Using, say, I was like my grandparents had an encyclopedia set. Some people had like more than one encyclopedia set for different reasons.
Well, they upgrade them every year, right? Yeah. So, and the better ones are like more and more. It's wild. Even a dictionary, like having a dictionary is fucking insane.
Wait, 1 to 1.5 miles, or is that 1.5?
No, it's the first.
Sorry,
thing.
that's number one, is that you have to run 1.5 miles in 12 minutes and 30 seconds.
That's not very hard. Even if you're not in good shape, you could probably do that and then just be fucking done.
No, that's not that easy. That's essentially, maybe. I mean, no, like I run that easily, but
not crazy.
That it's not crazy, but if you're not used to running, you have to jog the whole time in order to get 12:30 or 1.5 miles.
Well, hold on. What was the time? What was the time?
12 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, so probably more than jog. You kind of have to run.
Yeah, but if you can't run, like what I'm saying is that's not that. If you don't run all the time, running 1.5 miles straight is not easy.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's easy if you're out of shape. I'm saying it's not like
you'd like.
Yeah, if you were
going to
become a cop,
you'd like to think our cops would. I think what I'm saying more is not what I could do or not. I'm saying I feel like our cops should be able to run 5 miles in whatever a good time that is.
I just think
you're talking about a really small percentage of people.
Yes, that's true. I guess more my point is just that running 1.5 miles in 12 minutes is not like that far out of reach. Like, it's not like that, like, well, what an unbelievable feat that you did that. It's kind of like, all right, yeah, if you're in at all decent shape, you should be able to do
we
that.
We should all train to do a New York State physical fitness test and see who can score the best on it.
Yeah, well, that's stupid. You work out. You. No one else does. That's
what no, I love this idea. That. Guys, we should have a who's the most Puerto Rican contest.
Hey, you guys down for a good old-fashioned bald off?
All right, guys, let's play a game. Who's most Puerto Rican?
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not like, again, I'm not even saying like, I'd fucking, if I could get through that right now, I'd be fucking dead after getting through it. But it's just not that, like, it's a little bit more within reach than I would have thought.
1.5 mile run within 12 minutes, 30 seconds. Push-ups.
I always thought Lewis's, and I don't really know what the answer to this is, but I always thought it was what you said, that it's like, you got to pass this shit for the police academy. But then when you're a 15-year cop, the reason they could have a big pot belly is because they didn't have to do this shit.
Unquestionably.
They had to do this shit. But I would have, if I had to guess, I would have thought that the police academy shit that they had to do was a little bit tougher than a mile and a half in 12 and a half minutes.
Even when you watch the show Cops,
I would have guessed harder than that.
Even when you watch the show Cops back in like the 90s and stuff too, you could see like the cop when they like the Mardi Gras cops walking around. It was never like there was very few times where it was like jacked cops. It was like older guys a lot with the mustaches still walking around. They couldn't catch anybody. Like they
well, it was like back
in
the day
uniform.
In the 80s and 90s, it was the gag was that cops love donuts and fucking that sort of went away. Like even and by the way, New York City cops, a lot of them are fucking jacked, but you see the older ones. Maybe there's like something where I'm sure there's an answer to this. I'm sure if you guys want to try to find it.
Well, all
like,
those maybe cops in the donut shops went walk like an Egyptian.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, I'll jot it down.
Poetry.
Just wow, something I'm working on. You guys want to hear my garage band?
30 push-ups within 1 minute.
Okay, that's not very hard.
You can do 30 push-ups in 1 minute?
I don't know. I can do 30 push-ups in 1 minute. I'm just saying that's like, yes. If you gave me a week, I could do 30 push-ups in a minute.
If we gave you
a week of that, yes.
I would think for this physical fitness test, a month would be the amount of time that you should give the average person to prepare.
To prepare for
building
up to
a mile and a half.
If you're
just running a mile and a half,
you're
going to need to run a few days a week. It's going to suck for the first week or two.
Yeah.
Sit-ups, 30 sit-ups in a minute. That's easy.
That's easy.
Vertical jump. Fucked. I'm out already.
Well, am I wrong about this, Lewis? But like the minute almost seems irrelevant. If you can bang out 30 push-ups, or you could bang out 30 sit-ups. Yeah. You're going to be able to do that in less than a minute. The question is, can you do 30?
Well, no,
in a row?
Can do 30, like doing 30 push-ups in 5 minutes is just I can do five push-ups every minute. Like, yeah.
I just mean, in other words, the question is, can you do consecutively 30 push-ups? Like, that's kind of the test. The timing is like almost irrelevant.
A 16.5 inch vertical leap. I promise you guys, I'm not making the police academy with 10 months to prepare. Big fucking legs are not getting up that high. 16.5 inches. It ain't happening.
Well, that's something I don't think you can really prepare for. I mean, what are the calisthenics for like a while? Maybe you could.
Can I see that jump? Like, what is it you have to do? Like,
I just know that when there's a 12 inch box jumps are rough for me to get up after doing like two or three of them.
I think I could do that right now.
Yeah, I think I could do them. I think I could definitely do that.
But I have my legs and the way my body works, it's not designed to jump. It's when I try to jump, whatever it is, it feels like everything becomes mud and clay in my lower half.
It seems like God puts his hand on Lewis's head and goes, I made you for the ground. I made you for down here.
All I want to do is do jumping events with you now.
Yeah, you piece of shit. Why don't you do the fucking mile and a half run, you fat fuck?
No. Lewis, everyone's done jogging and push-ups and all that.
You guys
nonsense.
Don't want to do any of the things that I can do, but all of a sudden we're going to do a jumping event, you cocksuckers?
That's right.
The vertical jump is a measure of your total body explosive power. Reach up as high as you can with one arm while placing your bicep next to your ear.
Oh, they got to do it.
The apparatus will be lower to your fingertips. Take one step back with either foot, and while leaving your front foot planted, step forward and jump, reaching as high as possible and hit the taps.
I shit you not, guys. If you ever watch me try to jump and touch the net on a basketball court, it's hilarious how far I come from the net.
I mean, does it make sense? Honestly, I'm my only concern with that is the coming back down.
Yeah, on the knees.
Like my knees, I'm just worried about coming back down on. But I could jump up and touch.
Well, that's why I thought
I'll touch the rim or something on a basket hoop. That's not.
Well, that's because you still touch the rim.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I haven't done it in a long time.
I never touched the rim in my life. I used to be able to slap the bottom of the backboard.
Back in my day, I could touch the rim like that, like without a running start. I could just jump and touch the rim. I might need a running start. My concern is the landing, dude. Like I'd be real worried about fucking my knees and my ankles up.
Box jumps, yeah. I would do, if you want to do a 16.5, want to do a box jump competition, it's hilarious. But it's bringing me back to being a child when everyone's running and touching the net or the rim or the backboard, and literally just complete airing everything that I try to touch, and everybody cackling and laughing at me. It's bringing me back to being a child right now.
And funny. I hate even it. As you describe it, it's so funny. I couldn't imagine.
No sound. Just you literally watch such a big guy run up with such aggressiveness and just fucking no sound, just silence. And then you hear everyone in the courtyard just cackle. I fucking hate it.
Oh, man. But it's
what a weird activity you had to do. Everybody had to go slap the rim or the backboard.
It was just thinking you'd be at lunch or whatever. Or like,
no, that's just, yeah, we all used to do that all the time. Yeah. Just see who could jump the highest.
You used to play taps. You remember that game, Taps?
What was
that? You throw the basketball and while you're in there, you have to catch it and throw it to another person.
No.
Yeah, I remember like a version of that game, kind of.
Yeah, it was that one. Anything but playing basketball, we would do. We would use the court for a lot of fun things. 300-meter run, 300-meter sprint in under 1 minute and 7 seconds. I have no gauge to how far that is.
900 feet.
Thank you, Jay.
I'm just making a complete guess.
No, that's about right. But
so what is it? A 300 meter and how long?
1 minute and 7 seconds. So sprinting, dude. So I read this thing that whatever the percentage was, it was like something like 5% of people or like 95% of people will never sprint again after they hit the age of 30. So it's something like that. The numbers are off, right? Jeez. But look it up, right? Like I'm sure the numbers out there. And I remember being like, I was like, that's crazy. And then I was like, when's the last time I sprinted? I was like, I don't know that I've sprinted, like actually sprinted in a long time. And then me and my ex-girlfriend, we literally had a sprint race, like as fast as we can go. And I beat her, even though she's way more athletic than me, but I still beat her because we're men and we're just built to be better.
But did try to tell me she would beat me in a sprint. I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind.
No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't. You'd she dust wouldn't. Her easily.
Dust her.
Jay's weirdly fast. But the, I remember afterwards, dude, the next day, every joint in my body was fucked. Like my knees, my hips, like it literally felt like I was in a fucking car accident.
5% of adults over 30 sprint.
Was that it? Really?
Ever sprint.
Well, but that's a little different than saying 95% will never sprint again. That seems to be like they do regularly like sprint. But it is, as you're asking it, I can't remember when's the last time I sprinted. I mean, there must have been a time like catching a train or something like that. I don't know.
Stuff like that.
Then you try to breathe and you just feel it like all in your throat. Like it feels like you're sick almost.
I mean, when you're motivated.
I've sprinted on the treadmill like before just to like push it up to go like, let me just run as fast as I can for a little while. But it never lasted very long.
I've sprinted to a... like a cab when I would do cab, like yellow cabs. I sprint to a cab that I realized I left my phone in. Did you ever have to do that?
That'll do it.
I sprinted. The last time I remember sprinting in life was when James fell down the stairs at his mom's
such a funny
apartment.
Story.
Yeah.
And you then couldn't sprint the whole way.
It was the moment where I'm crying and then I had to stop sprinting and start walking like,
my boy.
So Lewis just shows up out of breath with an ice cream that he stopped to get.
I was getting sad. The only thing that would cheer me up was ice cream.
Oh, yeah. That was the episode Ambulances.
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
Six ambulances showed up. The classics. The good old days.
The classies.
So they said you have to maintain 10 miles an hour, 10.02 miles per hour. So I could sprint to 10 miles per hour. Could I sprint to 10 miles per hour for 1 minute and 7 seconds? I don't know. It might be tough.
A minute?
Yeah.
No.
I will say that
sprinting for a minute, listen, that's a full fucking run.
I'll say this: when I was 18, I mean, I'm talking at 41, and I couldn't pass this test. Like, I'd need some time. I don't think I'd need that much time to pass the test, but I would need some time to prepare for it. But at 18, I could have done this. This would have been nothing. Like, it's crazy to me that in order to be a cop, the first physical test, my average, the easiest basketball practice that I ever did was 50 times harder than this. This is not.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, this would have been a lame work. Like,
but it's also it's a type of extra warm up. You know, so like I box almost every day. I'm in the gym. I lift weights, but it's just a different sort of energy. So the idea of like sprinting for, even as I'm saying sprinting for a minute, it's making my knees hurt. It's making me go, oh fuck, dude, I never want to have to sprint for a minute. But I jog, you know, if I'm not boxing, I jog, but I jog at like 6 miles an hour the whole way.
Yeah. Okay. So like, for example, when I was like playing basketball in high school and doing these really hard practices, like four times a week, if I had just started boxing, I'd have gotten tired real quick too, because I wasn't used to boxing.
Yeah.
But if the test was like, hit this heavy bag for 30 seconds, I could have done that.
Right.
So
right.
I'm just saying, like, even in like, in that shape, like you just,
could you hit a heavy bag for a minute right now, Dave?
Like going, like not touching the heavy bag, hitting with everything I have.
I mean,
like power shots on a heavy bag.
Could you work a heavy bag for a minute straight without stopping?
I think I could. I could like.
Do we need to do a Legion of Skanks physical Olympics?
Could I not do that?
No. No, I think you'd be.
I'm asking you. Could I not do that?
No, I don't think I would make it to a minute. If I was really hitting, I don't think I could. Right now, no, I'm not in good shape.
Punching for a minute's pretty. If you're not used to punching
for a minute, everything you have is.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm saying I would guess that I could, but maybe you're right.
I hate the heavy bag too. Like I like sparring. Like I don't really like hitting a bag that's not trying to hit me back. It just feels like just a waste of energy. So it just doesn't excite me. So I get really tired on the heavy bag very quickly. But
I think you'll get tired hitting a heavy bag much quicker than you think you would.
Yeah, so it's like swimming. If I swim two laps in a small pool, I'm not doing a third. It's crazy how much endurance it takes to swim if you're not used to it.
You know, I could do four or five miles
pretty easily.
I could do four flips in a row without coming up.
Oh, that's, dude, you could be a policeman in Iowa.
Yes.
That's all you need to do. Four flips.
Underwater flips. I'm going to become a Coast Guard.
It's part of the, if you to become a skank policeman, you have to be able to do four flips underwater, hit a heavy bag for one full minute.
It's just things we would do. And
you have to be able to touch the rim of a basketball court with a running start.
Yeah, yeah. The things we could all still do.
You have to debate the war on Ukraine.
I'll bet you the one people eat shit with on a lot is those four flips.
You think so? You think they had to come back up for air? You think you're the standard?
I guess I don't brag about a lot of things, guys, but the things I do,
I'm not saying I'd fail the police test. I don't think I could do hitting a heavy bag for a minute. I'm just saying at 18, I think I would fucking, this would be nothing. And it's crazy to me that there's not a little bit more that cops had to go through. Like I just would have thought it was more in police academy than that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think it's not that difficult of a test.
And maybe they made it that way so chicks can do it.
It just seems pretty in reach for somebody who wants to be a police officer.
What is police academy like? Like, it's like you have a class you go to every day to like.
Well, there's a black guy who makes the sound effects with his nose. Captain Lassard is a bumbling idiot, but I mean he's got a heart of gold. And then there's Mahoney, who just doesn't want to play by. He wants to play by his own set of rules. Eventually, they put the citizens on patrol.
Dude, those movies I haven't seen in a long time. Do they hold up?
I would say probably 1 through 4 holds up, and then it's a piece. They're all pieces of shit even back then. But 1 through 4 has funny scenes.
I don't think the ones after 4 don't hold up. I don't think they ever held.
I don't think they exist. Yeah, I'm saying they only went up to 4.
No. It was like Miami Beach, and then some other awful thing. You know what I mean? It's like how funny Revenge of the Nerds is, and Nerds 2 in Paradise is terrible.
Yeah, but I was a kid when I saw it, so all I needed was those nerds on another screen, and I loved it, dude. Nerds in Paradise, I fucking loved.
Did you really?
Yeah. Was it rated R still, or did they try to PG-13
it? They PG-13 it. That's exactly what the problem was.
They fucked up.
They should have R'd it. 8 Police Academy movies. But they... Yeah, City Under Siege. They all got so shitty, but 1 through 4 are all pretty good.
Yeah. They did one in Miami, right?
Yeah, that's where they went. That's where it started going shitty.
Yeah, remember they had like one of those
I saw it in the theater
bayou boat races where it's like with the big fans in the back of the boat.
I think they started trying to PG-13 the police academies also.
Oh, is that what happened? I didn't know that
they were rated R comedy. Oh yeah, they always had tits and stuff in them and shit like that. Remember the big one of the big pranks in the first one was that he thought Mahoney was under the table sucking his dick, Captain Lessard.
I didn't remember that. No,
I mean either.
Very funny. Very funny. Gentlemen, always a great time hanging with you on the Friday Night Hang. And thank you guys for subscribing to Gas Digital. We appreciate the support. And tell your friends if they want to listen to the Friday Night Hang like y'all's do.
I say give a Gas Digital subscription for Christmas to somebody. What a nice gift. Hey, the gift that keeps on giving.
Ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. All right, gang. We'll catch you next week from our show from the stand. Until then, everybody, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with 3 C's.
You must be fucking over, Lewis.
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
You ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika? It's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.